Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our reflection this morning is from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, where he writes, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." This is the word of our Lord. You may be seated. If we were to take a little congregational field trip to Florence, Italy, I should first see who might like to take a congregational field trip to Florence, Italy. If we were to do that, we could stand in a place, in a hallway, in a museum called the Galleria dell'Accademia. And there we might find ourselves in a kind of awkward place. This is that hallway. And before us, there are four unfinished pieces of stone, each about the size of a doorway. An artist was laboring over these blocks of solid marble, but stopped that work in the middle. Therefore, the edges are rough, the stones still misshapen, and yet you can clearly see the beginning of human figures being chiseled from those stones. And such partial progress gives the intriguing, but perhaps a bit unsettling, impression of people emerging from these rocks. Several have no faces, not yet anyway. Others are missing arms, and what you see are merely the beginnings of these four figures. Historic record reveals for us that these figures were intended to depict slaves, prisoners. Indeed, their current gallery home is called the Hall of Prisoners. The artistic work was begun by Michelangelo early in the 16th century. The figures were intended to adorn an elaborate tomb, to be symbols or sentinels of some kind in that structure, but the work was never finished. The money ran out, and his work has been frozen in time, so to speak, ever since. What were once rough blocks of marble are gone. What they were intended to be, fully formed, beautiful sculptures, are not yet here. Instead, they invite us to stand in a kind of awkward moment between the past and the future. The past of their initial formation is gone, yet not entirely gone, because we can discern the figures that are being crafted. The future that Michelangelo envisioned is conveyed, but not yet here, because the work is incomplete. In our text this morning, St. Paul invites us into a hallway like this. He asks us to see how we are caught right now in the middle of God's far greater work. Paul begins by saying that the sufferings of this present time are not worth considering or comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Suffering and glory. They are two concepts, two experiences, two states of being that are diametrically opposite, and yet they are held together in this scriptural moment. The sculpted figures in the museum already revealed spectacular artistry, but they appear as if the figures are trying to escape, suffering under the confinement of the rock that remains around them, unfashioned, unfinished. So too, Our present world reveals divine artistry, and yet it is filled with suffering that we no doubt also seek to escape. God, of course, had originally formed an unblemished, beautiful creation, and it was perfect. I don't know about you, but I love to find those vistas in nature where God's breathtaking creation just kind of spreads out before you. Well, imagine a time when such awe-inspiring beauty was everywhere you could look without exception. Adam and Eve were granted the opportunity to live there and yet were convinced somehow that they should experience more in life. And as they rebelled against God, they brought God's curse into the world, and in doing so, brought suffering unto all of God's creation. The day you eat of it, you shall die, God said of that one particular fruit. And true to his word, God subjected the beauty of his own creation to the bondage of decay. And as Paul writes, creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it. Such punishment, one might say, was set in stone, affecting those created in the image of God and affecting the whole creation of God. The past perfection is gone, yet not entirely gone. We are still created in the image of God. We can still see those wonderful glimpses into the beauty of God's greater creation. And the future glory is not yet here as we continue to live with the burden of sin and suffering from which we no doubt desire to be set free. But only God could set his creature free. Only God could set all of creation free. And in God's divine wisdom, even punishment had a purpose that far transcended mere retribution. Here again, Paul's words. He writes, creation was subjected to futility, and that by God. But Paul concludes that painful truth with these two critical words. He says, creation was subjected to futility in hope. In hope. In other words, God always had a plan. The suffering of this broken world is real, to be sure. You know that in your own personal life. And we must acknowledge, as Paul does, that this suffering was under God's authority, the consequence of rebellion. God cast Adam and Eve out of the garden and subjected the whole world to the imperfection of sin and brokenness, but such suffering was always intended to lead toward glory, toward restoration and redemption. This is what Paul invites us to look toward in hope, the glory of a new creation. In farming terms, whenever there are first fruits, it always implies that there is a full harvest yet to come. Paul writes that we have the first fruits of the Spirit. And that is to say that we have the beginning of a restored relationship with God, one that will come to complete harvest at the final return of Christ. And Jesus Christ himself is the first fruits beyond death. He is one who knew the brokenness of sin that surrounded him while on earth. He knew suffering even more bitterly than we ourselves will ever experience. And raised from the dead, he is the promise of a new creation. He is our future resurrection toward never-ending glory. God has begun this good work. And like this glimpse of figures in stone, we have a foretaste of that glory, even as we are still confined in a broken world. In Jesus, the masterpiece of God's design is brought to completion. And by faith in Christ, we are all a part of that masterpiece. And it is only a matter of time before the full glory of God is revealed. And so Paul writes these words to the Romans to help them stand in the painful moments of life that they were enduring. And his words come to us today to help us do the same, to stand in faith. For in Christ we have been already made into children of God. That is sure and certain. His death has destroyed the power of sin, and his resurrection has brought this promise of new creation. And yet what we are is not fully seen and experienced in this world. Take a deep, close look at God's people, Paul says, and you will see a people imprisoned and suffering, groaning because they desire to be free. But take a deeper look at Christ, and you will see the source of our hope, the assurance of our adoption as children of God, the true source of our freedom. In Christ alone, we are set free from the bondage of sin, even as we wrestle with the ever-present temptation toward sin. Today, we do stand rather awkwardly, positioned between the sufferings of this present world and the glory yet to be revealed. But rest assured, Paul concludes, that even now, the Spirit of God helps us in our weakness, in perpetual prayer on our behalf, that the great masterpiece of God the Father will be revealed in each one of us on that final day of glory. Through Jesus Christ. Amen.